Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 139. Today, I have David Williams back in the studio.
Always great to be here.
We're going to continue from last week's program. It's a continuation of the story, the testimony of Boris Sarokoski is his name. And this is a testimony that he gave back in April of 1994, and he was the son of an immigrant from Ukraine. And the story, quickly, we're going to recap a little bit from the last program, 138. If you'd like to go back and re-listen to that program, we started the program telling about the story of a man who was born of a family from the Ukraine. The Holy Spirit spoke to a number of Ukrainians and Russians during the late 20s and early 30s, telling them that great hardship was coming to Russia and famine was coming and there would be bloodshed. And he was warning his people beforehand. And so as they were praying and seeking the Lord Holy Spirit spoke to a number of these families to leave. And there's literally thousands of families that heard the message, the word of the Lord, that great hardship was coming to Russia, but only a handful, several hundred families actually heeded the word of the Lord and actually left their farms and their good dwelling places that they had to live. And so we started the story and told about how they had left, and they came to a place like a camping place. The Lord stopped them right there at the border, didn't lead them any further than this particular place right on the border of China and Russia. And he left them there for probably a year. And during this time, murmuring and complaining began, because maybe we missed the Lord altogether. Why is the Lord stopping us here? And so the majority of the families decided that they would just go back to their homeland. And so there was only about 40 families left at the border. And once this separation took place, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke again. And it said it's time to enter into the land.
Well, this was about 1933, so approximately 16 years after the Bolshevik Revolution took place in Russia. Again, communism then was official, but it took that long for the Russian officials to gain control across the nation. And so it was at that time that these people returned from this place on the border to their villages and to their former homes, that the crush really began from the Russian government. And of course, we, on our previous program, detailed some of the horrific things that happened to those people that returned. And in Boris Sarokoski's testimony, he points out, he says, many people might ask, well, how could God be so cruel as to allow these people who loved him and who were called by his name to suffer like that? And he points out that it has nothing to do with the cruelty of God. They suffered because of disobedience.
That's absolutely right. You know, everybody wants to blame God on their problems, but if God loves us, isn't he love us enough to warn us ahead of time if some great hardship was coming? You know, most people just want to stick their head in the sand and say, no, this could never happen to my wonderful world. Certainly hardship could never come my way. I remember one time I was in the Ukraine many years ago, and we were going to go minister at an orphanage up near Chernobyl. Some children had cancer left over from all the radiation there. And I was leaving the outskirts of the Ukraine or Kiev. And as I looked up on the hillside of these houses, they all had chain link fences around the houses, kind of the nicer area of Ukraine, of suburbs. And everybody's backyard was a garden. This is just after the Iron Curtain came down. And everybody's backyard was a garden. And it wasn't, I mean, that they wouldn't like to have a swing set for the kids to play in and nice green grass, but it was out of necessity. They had to grow their own food or else they would die. And as I was passing by, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, what makes you so great this couldn't happen to you? And I thought, wow, I don't even know how to grow food. You know, what if the hardship came my way? And this is back in the late 80s. And so I realized that hardship can come anywhere. I mean, it can come in the greatest land and, you know, everything's fine. But the skills that I've learned over the years by that one word, what makes me so great this couldn't happen to me, you know, it's humbling to realize that, you know, okay, you have a nice food on your table and there's food in the grocery store, but there may be a day that this may happen to us too. So it woke me up to the fact that food may be short supply one day.
You know, and the principle that we're really focusing on here as we look at this testimony is that of the rewards of obedience and some of the harshness of disobedience that we face when we disobey. You know, the prophet Habakkuk cried out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, in wrath, remember mercy." And Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, he said that we were not appointed, the children of light are not appointed to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. And of course, he's referencing eternal salvation, but part of that is experienced here in this age right now. The Lord does not, we may suffer persecution from the ungodly, but we are not appointed to receive God's wrath.
Well, look what Jesus himself said, and this is in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. He says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day comes upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man." You know, and I was just looking at some of these words here, just counted worthy. It means deemed entirely deserving. And it says to escape, and it comes from a Greek word that means to flee out, to flee. So there's a time when it's time to get away from the wrath to come, because God's wrath will come upon the ungodly at one time. His mercies, you know, there's time when the cup's full, and he no longer will turn a blind eye to the sins of his people. And God's just saying, separate yourself, because fire's coming down. I mean, I'm sorry, but Lot would have been burned alive if he had not left Sodom. The angel had to grab him by the hand and take him out.
Right, and we're all familiar with the scriptures the scripture that tells us that the prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. So we're going to pick back up with Boris Sorokovsky's testimony from the point that the many, many families, hundreds of families, returned to their hometowns from the border there of Russia and China, returned to a place of relative prosperity at that time, and comfort, and no persecution. But unfortunately, the time that they returned was just right at the onset of the beginning of harsh persecution.
And these people were warned before they left what it would look like when they got back there.
And all of the warnings came to pass. Their men were sent to Siberia. Mothers ate their children. It was horrific. Many starved to death.
So this is what they returned to, thinking they knew better than trusting the Lord.
That's right. So we're going to pick back up, and this testimony says that, "So there was great trouble in Russia from 1933 on. In the meantime, that little group that was left by the border, a couple months after the other group left, heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'My children, get ready to move into another country.' And when they were fasting and praying, the Lord divided the 40 families into four groups. He named the heads of the families. He said, 'My son, you and you and you.' The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, named the heads of the families and divided them into groups. He said, 'You will be leaving on such and such a day at midnight. I will lead you out into another country.' Then the Lord, in his divine providence, took them across the border into China. And it was only the miracles of God that could lead them, because they had never traveled that far in their lifetime. They never had guides, and they could not reveal their intent, because at that time there was already big surveillance in the villages. So they were being watched. So they said, 'Lord, we have the government here in this village where we live, in the city, watching for us. How can we move?' And the Lord said, 'My children, don't worry. I will lead you out.' And the Lord told them to leave at midnight. When midnight came, they were praying. Even right to midnight, they were in prayer to the Lord, saying, 'Lord, please help us and lead us out.' And this is what happened to that particular group, as my mother related it. Right at midnight, the Lord raised a great storm. It was such a great storm that it caused a great commotion with much wind and noise. Even dogs stopped barking in the streets, and everyone went into hiding. It was a big storm. And then the Lord said, 'My children, it's time to move out.' So they left in the darkness of the night, at midnight, and there was no KGB watching the streets, walking surveillance. There was nobody on the streets. The streets were empty, and they left from the outskirts of that town. They left quietly in the darkness, and the Lord was leading them through the night, because it was very close to the border. The Lord led them through the wild paths in the bush. The Lord was telling them to turn right, turn left, because they didn't know where to go. But the Lord supernaturally led them, and group by group, they all went into China. Now, one group that was being led by the Lord, he was instructing them, and the moon was shining, but it was still quite dark. They were walking on a wide, well-worn path as the Lord had directed them. Then all of a sudden, the Lord told them, "Turn to the right, my children." And off to the right was just a little path going into the bush. And they stopped there. And a couple of the brethren said, "Well, why should we go to the right? This path we are on is very big and it's very easy to walk on. We have children and our kettles with our water. And if we go through the bush, we will be getting scratched and this and that. It'll be very hard for the mothers with children to walk." And they started reasoning. So they said, "No, no, let's go straight." And after that, of course, there was no more voice of the Lord. And so they went straight. See, they disobeyed. They just walked straight. Not long after that, they came to a small wet area and then into a big swamp. And the two brothers who took over the leadership and rejected the leadership of the Lord, the divine leadership of the Lord, they happened to fall into the swamp and started sinking. And they cried, "Lord, help us!" The people had to take off their shirts and quickly made a rope to throw them in order to save them from certain death. That's what it means to disobey the Lord, when you want to go your own way and not the Lord's way. So they got them to shore, and they were all soaking wet. And people started to weep and cry bitterly, "Lord, forgive us. We disobeyed your voice and wanted to go on the easier path. Forgive us, Lord." And they were repenting and praying for a couple of hours, and there was no voice of God. Eventually, they really broke down, crying before the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to them with a very stern rebuke, and he said, "Never, never disobey the commandment of the Lord when he wants to lead you to safety." So the Lord forgave them and told them to go back to the point where they had to turn. So this time they had to turn left. And when they turned left on that little wild path, they found that it led them around that big swamp. It took them around on dry ground and then back to the wide path. The Lord knew and wanted to lead them around the swamp, but the people wanted to go straight. So that's how it is when people want to disobey his word. Finally, they came to China, and of course, there were many other miracles along the way. I'll tell you, as I read that, I am it is an exhortation to me, and it's sobering, because I think of all of the hardship that we may face, and you and I and many others are living in a land that is not our own right now, and many of the comforts of the homeland that we grew up in and that we've known in the past are stripped away from us. And it's easy to focus sometimes on the things that you don't have instead of recognizing all that God has done for you. And just like the Israelites, to forget how he has led you out by a miraculous hand. This is sobering to me.
That's true. And the whole key that I find in order to make it through your trials is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. It's the antidote for the toxins of bitterness and complaining and murmuring and all the stuff that wants to try to grab a hold of you in the midst of your trial, or blaming people or blaming situations, even blaming God. You know that all of us go through trials. I mean, every day there's some sort of testing of some sort that we go through. And you know what? I keep thinking of what Jesus said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." You know, it's like you have to be alert all the time of what's going on and be aware of your surroundings. When you get wrapped up in the cares of this life and all the other things, you lose focus on the main things, the important things. And God, he's trying to give us a warning, a heads up that many people are missing all the signs all around what's happening. And they want to believe what they see with their natural eyes, but they're missing what the Holy Spirit's speaking by the Spirit of God.
That's good. And you know, there are so many amazing things that are brought out in this testimony. It's a long testimony, so we're only able to cover a portion of it as we do these radio programs. But there are other accounts of where people ran out of water and they're crying. They've got children crying and they're thirsty and their kettles are empty. And the Lord directs them by his Holy Spirit to a particular place and tells them to dig, and they dig only about a foot deep, and all of a sudden water comes gushing out, and they're able to be satisfied, and they're no longer thirsty, and they're able to fill their kettles. I mean, just stuff that sounds like it comes right out of Exodus.
You know, he says, I mean, it's just a good thing to remember that where God guides, he provides, and this is the way he is. He's a good God, and But he's just asking for us to trust him. And then we can say we do, but the real test is when we have the opportunity to trust him, to see whether we really do. Mm-hmm.
So picking back up in the testimony here, it says, "So all those groups came safely into China, and the Lord led them into the same little town where they gathered together. It was an isolated mountainous area, but there was very rich soil there. And so they started to farm, and the Lord blessed them mightily. They built houses, mostly mud houses, with dirt floors, earthen walls, and straw roofs." And so it's just amazing that that the Lord brought them out of the place where suffering and persecution and starvation was getting ready to take place and delivered them. And we just wanted to touch on, there's another account of a specific brother that was part of this group that I believe came just a little bit later that ended up being part of this group. And his name was Ivan. And the testimony says that there was one brother who was living across the Ural Mountains. He was a man of prayer. And this was the time that was coming for the great crush upon Russia, when all of the confiscation, the killing, the shooting, the deaths in Siberia took place. So this brother was praying to the Lord, "Lord, you know what the people are talking about here. There are rumors that we will be persecuted and killed. So help us, Lord. Protect us and save us." One of the nights when he was praying, the Lord said to him, his name was Ivan, he said, "My son Ivan, I'll lead you into the country of China. Get ready for journeying." And the Lord set him a night. "On such and such a night, you are going to leave this village." And the Lord told him what to do. He was quite well off because he had 8 cows and 2 purebred horses. And to have 8 cows in Russia in those days was quite a good farming experience, with chickens and so forth. Quite a good farming operation. So the Lord said, "You leave your house and leave your cattle, leave your purebred horses and leave everything, and put your milk cow in your horse cart. Harness her and put her in the horse cart. Take a couple of bags of millet grain and some other food and leave this village at dusk in the darkness, and leave on such and such a road." The Lord told him to take a side road out of the village, and the Lord gave the name of the village he was to go to next. So this brother was puzzled. "Lord, I have good transportation. My horses are good." But because he was a man of prayer and a man of obedience, he decided to obey the Lord. When the night came, he harnessed the cow. The Lord even told him the name of the cow, so he harnessed her in the horse cart, and he turned on the lights in the house, he fed his cattle, fed his horses, and then he put his children and wife on the horse cart, and he quietly left. As he was passing through his village, people saw them traveling in the dusk of the evening, and they said, "Oh no, we have another gypsy coming to our village." Gypsies would travel throughout all Russia. They were stealing, they were doing witchcraft, they were doing all kinds of things, and begging. That's how they lived their lives. They never worked in Russia. There were many, many gypsies traveling in Russia for many centuries. So the people thought this brother was a gypsy, because it was a common sight to see a gypsy traveling on a cow. Now, why did the Lord do this? Because at that time, there was very strict control. People could not move in and out of their villages because the government was already gaining control over all the people. What they did in Russia was to slowly prepare the population. Each neighbor was told to spy on their next-door neighbor and to report what their neighbor says and what their neighbor does and where their neighbor goes. So each neighbor spies on his neighbor and reports to the KGB without knowing that he was being spied on by his neighbor too. They did it in secrecy, and they offered them some reward. So people were doing that, and movement was watched very closely. So if he had left on horses, it would have been known immediately that he was leaving the village. Nobody was allowed to move without permission from the authorities, from town to town or from your village. And they experienced that same thing in China when the communists came. You had to have 4 stamps on a piece of paper and your reasons for going and how long you were going before you could leave town, and only 10 kilometers at a time. That was the same in China too, so I know what they're talking about. So then, this brother left quietly. He was taken for a gypsy. The Lord sent him on a side road, and at midnight of the night he left, the KGB came to take this brother to Siberia because he was proclaimed an enemy of the people, because he was supposedly a rich man. So his property would have been confiscated that night, and he would have been taken to Siberia and gotten rid of. Of those taken to Siberia, many were killed. Some were needed for labor. Many rich people were simply shot, taken outside of villages and shot with machine guns or whatever. They killed many millions of people in Russia from 1933 on. But this brother had left, and when they came to pick him up, there was no man. The family had disappeared, and they didn't know what to do or what happened. The horses were there, everything was there, and the lights were on in the house, but no man and no family. They were amazed. So they waited for morning, and they saw the tracks leaving through the gate. They saw the direction he went. So they harnessed his horses and made a big chase along that main road. And of course, they were chasing for a long time with no results, because the Lord had sent him on a side road. And that man traveled to that village that the Lord told him to go to. The Lord told that man he would take him to China. But of course, he hardly had any education, and he had no beautiful road maps like you and I have. He had no road signs, nothing. They had to totally depend upon the Lord. All he knew was the name of the next village. He knew that one. And he was praying each time, and he was praying at night. It was summertime, and they were traveling on the cow. And they would pasture the cow and milk the cow and make porridge with the millet and feed the children. They praised God because they realized if they had traveled on horses, they couldn't milk horses, but they could milk a cow. So the Lord uses the simple, the uneducated, the unwise of this world to confound the wise and prudent. And the Lord put the KGB to shame by simply leading this man out to security and safety to China on the cow. When he came to the next village, which wasn't very far, he prayed with his family, "Lord, is this China?" The Lord said, "My son Ivan, this is not China yet. I will take you to China." Then the Lord told him the name of the next village, and he just moved on. And the Lord gave the next address, and so on. And he had to ask people where the village was. He had no maps. Russia had no maps in those days. So he would ask people, "Where is this village?" And they would point to the right road. And he happened to be moving south without knowing where he went. Like Abraham. Did Abraham know the address? Did he know where he went? The Bible says Abraham left his country and didn't know where he was going. So this brother was just traveling on, and before he knew, by the end of summer, it took him all summer, he had traveled from the middle of Russia to the border of China. And here is a disappointment. When he came to the border, the Lord told him to move on, and so he went on, by the direction of the Lord, very close to the border. The Russian border at that time was already heavily guarded, with German shepherd dogs and constant checking by guards on horseback. So it was already an iron curtain at that time. It was severely controlled because they did not want the people to leave. It was very strictly checked. So when they saw this strange sight, a man with a family traveling in the direction of China, it was very suspicious, and so they caught him. They confiscated his cow, they took his cart away, and they made him a prisoner. And they caught some other people that looked suspicious to them, and they made them cut dry grass along the border for hay for their horses. So this brother was weeping, a prayer at night, "Lord, what is this? You told me you would lead me to safety. You would lead me to China. Here I am. I left everything as you told me, and now I've lost my cow. I've lost my horse cart. I have nothing left, Lord. What's going on?" And the Lord was comforting him, saying, "My son, cheer up and don't worry. I will take you yet to China. Just trust me. I will take you to China." He was a prisoner. So they put his family and the others right by the border in tents as a temporary dwelling place, and the men were made to work with scythes cutting hay, dry hay. His personal relative told me the story, and there were many miracles along the way. But one of the days when they were working, fire broke out on the Russian side of the border, a big fire. Then the wind started blowing, and this dry hay started burning very quickly, and this fire moved on to the group that was working and onto the tents. The border guards started to panic and run for their lives, yelling orders. The workers dropped their scythes and ran for the tents to get their families. They wanted to run to safety, but the wind was increasing in force and the fire was moving very fast toward them. So everyone started to run for their lives with their children. And this brother grabbed his wife and children, and they were running away from the fire. They were running and running and crying, "Lord, what is this?" And they just ran and ran. They ran for a long time. Eventually, when they were exhausted and had run far enough away from the fire to be safe, they fell down in the grass, totally exhausted. They started to weep, and this man said, "Lord, here's my family running, and we're in a desperate situation. What is this? Why is this happening to me? Lord, where am I?" And the Lord said to him, "My son, this is China." He came to China. So the Lord deported him from prison into China by fire. And this man and his wife started to praise the Lord and rejoice and thank the Lord. And the Lord told them where to go, and so they found those four groups that had already arrived. Those four groups came to the same town, and so they joined them. They praised the Lord for his guidance and protection. And so these people, these simple people, who believed and trusted the Lord and his leadership, they never saw the starvation in the Ukraine. They never saw the persecution and trials. They never saw their children being taken away. They never saw Siberia and all those things which happened to Russia. It was a drastic, terrible time in Russia from 1933 on. Many millions of people died. And also, the Lord saved them from the Great War. Of course, we know that from dates that the Second World War was only a few years away at this point.
You know, you mentioned Psalm 37, because I was just thinking about how they didn't even know all these things that happened, this terrible things that happened that was behind them, because they went forward as the Lord directed them to safety. And as you're reading Psalm 37 a moment ago, this just kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, just a couple of verses in Psalm 37, in verses 18 and 19, it says, "The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty." You know, another line from this testimony of Boris Sorokovsky says that, "So whatever the Lord promised these people, it came to pass. He delivered them from that country, from starvation and from those troubles, from the war, as he had promised."
Just that he had promised. And how do we receive the promises of God? I mean, that God's promises are there for a people that were willing to trust him enough to obey. That's the promises. Everybody wants to claim the promises of God, but the promises of God are for the obedient. I mean, just it's evident all through Scripture. And the disobedient, they don't receive the promises. I've seen many people who would say, "Yes, the Lord called me to come to Panama," and they forsake all and they leave, and then they get impatient, and the things that they were looking for, all of a sudden they show up just after they leave and go back. I'm sitting there going, "Hey, here's this job you're looking for. This guy needs your skills, but you're not here to receive the blessing that God had for you by you forsaking." And I think, what is it that we're missing? What do we never get because we won't believe long enough? We don't reap because we faint. It says that we'll reap if we faint not. So our encouragement to those listening is that whatever God tells you to do, do it and keep doing it. Don't quit because you grow weary, because the promises are for the finish line. You know, we have to hit the tape. We have to finish the race. And we're going to continue the story next program, and it's very interesting as they get to their promised land, the things that happen in their lives once they receive the blessings, because there's as much challenges as receiving the blessings as pursuing them and the promised land that God has for us. David, thanks for joining the program today.
Absolutely.
Thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.